And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Sarah Roy and Adam Truard, here to talk about The Bumpy Road, a cabaret of pregnancy and beyond. It is actually, as we said just a moment ago, a reprise of the interview that we had in the springtime. The Bumpy Road was supposed to have opened in the springtime.
Yes.
Little Imogene Roy had another idea, and that was a huge bump in the road.
Yes, yes. A big, giant hill mountain in the road.
That's right. So that was your baby, and that happened, I guess, opening night?
Opening night, yes.
Opening night.
She came February 13th, which was opening
really
day.
Kind of the point of this play, isn't it?
Yes. You know? Expect the unexpected,
That's
I guess.
That's right. And Adam, you have done original music for this production.
Well, the tunes are familiar from
yes.
musicals and
okay.
shows, but we have reworked them to have sort of a
musical collage,
yes.
yeah,
you say.
Yeah,
yes.
sort
yes.
of a little cheeky.
Cabaret
yeah.
style,
uh-huh,
which are often familiar songs, but have a twist on them
mm-hmm.
as well.
That's exactly right.
So let's go back for those people who didn't hear you earlier in the springtime and tell us about this production. You and your friend Allison
mm-hmm.
Brandon created it together, and you're both expecting when you created it.
Yes.
yes.
Allison and I both graduated from UL in 2008. In the performing arts program, and we both kind of left and did our thing, and she was moving back, as I found out, because she was pregnant, as was I. And so we found ourselves with due dates 2 weeks apart, and we said, wow, we should do a show about this.
What does any good theater person do?
No, right? Any good artist can always yeah. create great work mm-hmm. From moments like that. So we started working, and we found the music that we loved, and then we wrote our story through the music. And the first time around, it was more musical style, I think, than cabaret. The scenes kind of became grander and grander as it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, there are more elements to,
yes.
to the whole thing. Yeah.
And then the show was ready to go. We sold out our houses, and Adam worked feverishly with us. We went to New Orleans to travel the show there. And on the way back from New Orleans, I started having contractions. And went into labor and had my little peanut.
Little Imogene. She wanted to be the star.
That's exactly
she
right.
Wanted to be the star.
I have to be careful for that one.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, tell us what, and I know we spoke about that when you came here the first time. What is a cabaret? Because you're making the distinction between a musical and a cabaret.
Yes.
Tell us what that is.
A cabaret, not to be confused with burlesque or a musical. it's meant to be where you sit and there's audience that sits at tables and chairs, and they usually dine or they drink, and you entertain them with your songs. And they usually tell stories about whatever. And so we decided to do a cabaret style show. This show is more cabaret style. It's more us telling our stories. And a lot more music. We added now more songs towards the end of it to discuss about actually going into labor, our labor experiences, and now experiencing putting on a show with newborns, which is often, I think, something difficult.
Well, and I think a lot of people wouldn't think of a cabaret as necessarily having a storyline. How
right.
much of a storyline does this one have?
A lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We try to travel chronologically from the moments we found out we were pregnant and how that affected us. I think the biggest through line is how we have learned to continue to be artists while being mothers at the same time. Because a lot of people, you know, family comes first, always. But then you find yourself lost at how to find the time to do your art and how to be a performer. Because you can't just stop that. It's in you, and it's what makes you live, and you do it for your children so they can look at you and see mm-hmm. how inspired you are to create. Mm-hmm. So that's probably our biggest through line, I believe, is, you know, throughout the pregnancy journey, have the baby, you know, raise a baby. But how we have learned to be performers through that.
But I'm also thinking this: you don't have to have had a baby or want a baby in order to come to this cabaret to find something that seems familiar to you. Because just what you said right there, how do you take care of your responsibilities of life and continue to be an artist? And I'm just looking at Adam over here, who is an artist. He's a musician, but he's got this pretty demanding job. You and your brother have a business together, mm-hmm. but you still want to keep art in your life, music in your life. And, you know, whether it's baby or job or other responsibilities,
right.
it's a bumpy road.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's always an element of sacrifice, I think. Yeah. you get out of school, especially if you're coming from a performing arts department where the shows are built into your coursework.
Right.
The craft is built into your day. And mm-hmm. when you graduate, you have to fight for every second on stage that you can get.
Right. I have to work. Oh, my goodness. But then I really have to do my art. So something – there has to be some give and take there. Mm-hmm. And it's finding that balance between both is difficult.
That's right.
And I think even people, like you said, that aren't pregnant or don't have children, like poor Adam, I think he's been our biggest audience member this whole time. Like, okay, if Adam thinks it's funny, then it's still funny.
Well, and again, just I think we can all use that metaphor, the bumpy road, for yes. anything in life. So, we'll be open about that. Well, so Adam, how they talked about choosing music for it. When did you come into the process? Did you help with choosing this music?
I want to say that they shot this to me with a fairly fully realized conception of the show, probably in December of last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was several months before.
Early December, late November of last year. I had just finished the Riveters production of Hair that was here on UL campus, and that's where I met Allison. And so that's sort of where the connection was made. She said, I'm going to be calling you. I didn't know how soon it was going to be. I've been on board since. The show sort of actually was on paper, and there's been many revisions and many, many revisions since then. But both Allison and Sarah both have a really strong vision of what they wanted to do. And so I've really just been facilitating show that they want to have. It's been really fun.
So kind of musical director.
Yeah, absolutely. Because sometimes we're like, Adam, we wanted to have this feel. And he's like this? It just like plays it out. We're like, exactly that. And there was even a song that we chose that we could not find any sheet music for. We saw it on a television show. We're like, but Adam, we have to do this song. So he figured it out. He learned the music for it.
And then he changed the key. But yes. I still love you.
We're beginning to see Adam's level of expertise in music. Well, let's talk about some of those songs because that's obviously very integral to this storyline and moving us down this bumpy road. So what are some of the songs that you chose? You said many of them are familiar. People will...
Yes, we have some big like musical theater numbers that a lot of people remember from Les Mis to Gypsy to we have a Barbara Streisand song.
The producers,
Seussical. And we did take some of these songs and turn them into parodies about our situation that we thought were funny, like Oh, the Things You Can Think from Seussical. We turned it into Oh, the Things You Can't Have, which I'm sure you can use your imaginations and think where that's going to go. We also do have some pop songs that are familiar. And we have some blues. We sing It's a Man's World by James Brown, which is Allison was a little nervous about that one. It's out of her range, but I think it's great.
It works.
Yeah.
Well, and again, this is an interesting concept to people, this idea of the cabaret. Are you going to have it set up? No, it's taking place at Theater 810, so it won't be the tables.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to be normal house seating. Mm-hmm. It is set – the stage is set up where it's just really like a table and two stools, mm-hmm. Us looking glamorous and Adam looking glamorous and his keyboard and
So it sounds like glamorous was a big part of your idea in this. I mean, for all it's kind of bumpy and there's things you can't have, you wanted to make sure that people knew this was in your heart still.
I'm going to say that's Allison's doing.
Well,
I'm not glamorous in real life, but Allison is. And I think once we lost the bellies, she was like, what's that?
And that's what it is. Before, there's a little bit more staging and props and set design and lighting. And then I think you both gave birth and you – got your bodies back, and you said, we just want to be pretty and sing for people.
Right.
And so,
that is exactly
and so it's sort
what
of,
happened.
It's sort of been boiled down to that, which it it's became, still just as effective.
Right. It became real cheesy and funny, like when you had these big pregnant women dancing around stage, but then all of a sudden we were just goofy women dancing around stage.
Glamorous mothers.
So we said, yes, we lost all our baby weight. Look how fabulous we are. So.
You see, Imogen knew what she was doing when she arrived. She was like, I know my mother really wants to vamp it up here. And be swanky on stage. So this is so interesting. I don't know how many people have had this experience of taking a show absolutely to opening night with one set of feelings and costumes and then being stopped right there
And they say the show must go on, right? And in most cases, you'll find someone to fill in and you'll do that. But there was no fill-in. Like, there was no fill-in that day.
There was no understudy.
Right.
There was no understudy.
The show was our lives. It
That's
was
right.
our story.
You didn't
story.
Have some other pregnant women right behind you, just in case, just in case.
Oh, no. And it was such a bittersweet moment. I kept saying, I was like, this is so bittersweet because I'm birthing my baby. But this other baby that I've been growing for 9 months, this show, but it had to wait.
But what an incredible philosophical, metaphorical competition right there, you know? I mean, how more precise could it get
right.
than what you're trying to talk about?
Absolutely. And then the balancing that we're talking about is what family will always supersede our art. You know, it's always going to supersede what we do.
Some
but
people might think you planned that. It's just so perfect.
We have to market the show for 6 months, you know?
To make that point.
Well, and I mean, it's true, and I saw it firsthand in both Sarah and Allison's lives that, you know, Justin and Noah, their husbands, I mean, they're just with them every step of the way, and they thought that they were both absolutely insane. And they would look at me because I'd be the only person who they weren't married to in the room and say, do you think this is crazy too? And I'd kind of look at him and be like,
give us
yeah,
some perspective, you know, here.
But
absolutely. Poor Adam. He dealt with pregnant women doing a show.
But the message of the show definitely reflects their real life. And I think that's what's so great about it is that, yeah, it's cheeky and kind of funny at times, but
it's honest.
Absolutely.
I think that's what it is. It's like I often reference how Justin, my husband, thought we were nuts for doing this show when we were pregnant. And he still to this day is like, you were nuts for doing that. And it's real and it's real life. And I think those are real life things that people can connect to. That yes, it's funny and yes, it's fun. And these stories that we have to tell are hilarious, but they're also real and true and sentimental. And everyone can connect to that.
And you're, as an artist, you are creating from the material of your life, which we all can in various fashions, whether it's theater, music, or just shaping our own lives.
Absolutely.
And so tell us, and I know some people will wonder, you mean talking about their husbands thinking they're a little crazy. you know, of course, some of the cliches about women being very pregnant is they're awash in hormones and awash in nesting, anything you want to use. How do you feel about your creation that you had back in the springtime as opposed to now?
Looking at it now.
Yes.
We went back and we're like, whoa, we were on a hormonal, like we rewrote a section.
A high.
Yes. As to Allison was talking about, she was like, were there any moments that you had that were crazy moments that you look back at now and laugh? And I'm like, man, I must have just been crazy the whole time because I couldn't think of anything specific. Allison does tell a wonderful story, though, about cheese and how she kind of lost her mind about cheese. And we do. It was a huge hormonal event. And then you add to that the pressures of opening a show. Like we produced this show, we created this show, we fundraised this show, we marketed this show all on our own. So all of that, plus we had day jobs.
And other children.
Right. I have a 4-year-old as well. Mm-hmm. So they're all of that going into, and then you add hormones on the top of it, and it was just outrageous. And Adam felt the brunt of that when we would break down and cry when we weren't getting things done. But it did. The tech rehearsal we had Monday versus the tech rehearsal we had 6 months ago went a whole lot smoother. And I think hormones played a lot into that.
There's some people right now who wish they could see video of that and video of that.
I may have some stashed away for blackmail later on.
Well, and I think some people would think that just sounds like adrenaline.
Yes, I'm pumping my vitamin B's mm-hmm. right now and trying to
recoup that.
Stay above.
Yeah, yeah. If you are just tuning in, we're talking about The Bumpy Road, a cabaret of pregnancy and beyond. And then the beyond has been added.
Yes.
I think that wasn't
it was
in the
just
title.
A pregnancy
was it?
Before.
Right, a pregnancy. And my guest, Sarah Roy, created it with Allison Baron Brandon. Little Imogene Roy had other ideas in the springtime. And so that is why opening night is this Friday.
Yes, absolutely.
And it will open downtown at Theater 810.
Yes.
Cabaret style in people's hearts. so imagine the cabaret. Adam Truard is the musical director for this production, creating, I guess, segues and having done a whole lot of research and help with these songs. What are some of your favorite songs, Adam, that you've been working with in the play?
I love the songs that they sing together. They Sarah and Allison both have a big dramatic number, at least one in the show. But they each have two standout numbers, which I really love. The song "We Can Do It," it's probably the second or third song in the show. It's the first big, loud number, and it's amazing. It's just I'm trying to turn my pages and wait for cues and hear what they're saying, but they're having such a good time, and it's really hard not to get
and
wrapped up in it.
Song, for people who don't know what it is, where does it come from, or whose song is it?
The producers. Yeah, it comes from the producers. We Can Do It, and we changed it and added our own little twist to it, of course. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot, and I think the music for that song is written ridiculously. Adam complains often.
It's fun. I've learned to make it fun.
So, what instruments are you playing? Your keyboard?
It's just piano. I thought for a while maybe I would want maybe a little ensemble, but then I thought, no. It should probably just be the three of us.
Yes.
It should probably just be the three of us.
There's enough attitude on stage with the three of us.
They'd just be too crowded.
But it works. I think Theater 810 is a great space for a performance of this scale. It's really intimate. It's only,
The stage is
Sarah and Allison and I on stage. I'm not doing much moving.
Yeah, he's just...
It's a tight little show, but I think 810 is going to be a great place for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, that is going to be opening this Friday. It will run through the weekend and then the following weekend as well.
Yes, we do have tricky performances. The Friday night performances are both going to be at 9 o'clock. I think that's going to be helpful with Downtown Alive. And then if you get off work, you still have time to shower and have dinner and make it to the show. The show only runs an hour long, so it's not... terrible, you'll be home by 10.
Sounds good for all those people who have their own bumpy roads with children. So Friday, both Fridays, this Friday the 5th and the 12th, 9 o'clock at Theater 810. And then you have a Sunday matinee both weekends as well.
Yes, at 3 o'clock.
Has your little daughter seen the performance?
Julieta, she has been in our living rooms watching us perform. And I think she sings most of the songs with us. She also, when we went find our dresses, we got home and she went and pulled out her own dress, her Ariel mermaid costume that she was going to wear to the show. She's ready. So I think she might have to join us for opening night and be a part of that. I'm afraid she might want to jump on stage with us and sing, but we'll see.
We'll see about that. And I do have to mention, and it's just, personally, as an English major, I think that your daughter's names are fabulous. Oh, and they're like your little creations. They're both named after Shakespeare characters.
That's correct.
That is wonderful. Again, we're talking about The Bumpy Road, A Cabaret of Pregnancy and Beyond. It opens this Friday, September 5th, and we don't see any complications with opening night this time around. Adam Truart, who of course is a producer here at KRVS as well, is using his talents to create their music, help them with the whole lineup, and to perform as well for all of the performances.
Yes.
He'll be there.
I will be there.
Live,
I hope so.
Live music and post-pregnancy glamour will fill the stage. Well, thank you both for your creation, continuing to create. In spite of the bumpy roads that we all have to deal with, you all have done it so beautifully. Again, you coming out of the UL Performing Arts Program, and Adam doing so much music in this community. Were you at UL as well?
No, I graduated from Ickney State, but I've been here for about 7 years now. So I've had some time to set down some musical roots here too.
Well, that's good, and we're reaching a lot of people in McNeese as well. So perhaps some of your old compadres will work their way over here to see you in the performance. Well, thank you both. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Judith.